put our trust or a kind of salvation in political power, be it Republican or Democrat, be it liberal or conservative or independent. No, friends, our hope, our only ultimate hope, is in Christ and Christ alone. As good as the Constitution is, it does not replace the authority of the Word of God in our lives. If we don't restore the authority of God in our lives, the authority, the resurrected authority of the Constitution will be relatively meaningless. Thanks for joining us. Pray for the future of our country and that God's people, beginning in His house, will begin to turn their ways back to Him. Thanks for joining us and become a partner. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views as well, because this is Open Line Wednesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, And we welcome your calls, and we'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. Would you like to talk about the elections yesterday? What does it mean? Does it mean, of course, that Obama is certainly not going to be as effective as he has been in the past? Not to say he's been that effective, but what will this do as far as the Obama agenda? He wanted to transform America. Is he going to be able to do it? What's going to happen to Obamacare? What's going to happen to the death panels? What's going to happen as far as the ever-increasing deficit? What's going to happen to the people who are certainly in one level or another of foreclosures? Do you realize that certainly last year, 900,000 Americans lost their homes, almost a million, 900,000 the year 2009. In the first 6 months of 2010, 528,000 people lost their homes, and certainly there are at least about 4.3 million people who are in one state of foreclosure. They're really facing a serious foreclosure. All told, about 7.3 million Americans certainly are in one state or another of the foreclosure process. That's 7.3 million families that may lose their homes, 4.2 or 3 million that certainly probably will lose their homes. What impact will the Republicans coming in, 60 new congressmen changing the leadership? Nancy Pelosi is going to have to, she's not going to be able to fly in her own private, I think it was a 737 jet. She flew back and forth every weekend in that, and you and I picked up the tab because she was the third most important person in the entire country. She was third in line for the presidency. If the president died and the vice president died, Nancy Pelosi would have become the president of the United States. But God is good, and Nancy Pelosi will no longer be the Speaker of the House, and she's going to have to fly on a regular plane just like everybody else. Poor old Nancy Pelosi. Well, what are your thoughts about what happened? How is this going to impact joblessness in the United States? Is this going to get our economy moving? Certainly, Ben Bernanke announced today that they were going to spend $600 billion on, I believe it was $600 billion on buying up Treasury bills, long-term Treasury bills, and as somehow that was going to drive down interest rates. But ladies and gentlemen, interest rates are already ridiculously low. The banks can borrow at 0.25%, and certainly the long-term, if you get a 15-year loan on a home, buy a home, a 15-year loan, you're talking about, I think 3.6-3.7% interest. That's the lowest interest I've ever heard. So basically is what Ben Bernanke's going to do? Is that going to help our economy? Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Like to know what you think about what's happening. Do you think, of course, that the things are going to get better? Do you think they're going to get worse? Do you think they're really trying to solve the problem? Do you think the Obama administration's really tried to solve the housing problem? They've come up with 8 different programs and none of them worked. And right now, 7.3 million American families are in one stage or another of foreclosure. 4.2 or 3 million are certainly well along their way. And what's going to happen? Well, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's open lines, and if you don't call in, there's no program. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly I think that yesterday was an amazing day. I think it was probably one of the most important days of your life and mine. Not that things are going to turn around, because they're not. But what happened yesterday, I think, was a situation where we're going to see the Republicans holding the House of Representatives, controlling it. The Democrats will control the Senate and the presidency. And there will be, hopefully, gridlock. In other words, nothing much will get done. And that is the best thing that can happen for America. Our founding fathers feared an efficient federal government. They feared a government that would try to do good things. In fact, I think it was, if you have ever read the decision, Sheriff Mack, when he took the case to the Supreme Court, where the federal government was saying the local sheriff was going to have to enforce the Brady gun laws, and they were going to have to, of course, check and make sure everybody had their the proper identification and hadn't been a criminal before they could buy a pistol. And of course, Sheriff Mack, along with the ACLU, took that case to the Supreme Court. And basically, Justice Scalia wrote the decision. And part of it said, the Constitution is to protect us from trying to do good things. I mean, we've got to be protected from our desire to do good things, because so often these are counterproductive. Certainly, nobody's in favor of gun crime, nobody's in favor of criminals having guns. But, of course, when we begin to violate the Constitution and force a sheriff's or any government agency to do things just because somebody in Washington, D.C. thinks it's a good idea, why, of course, this is a violation of the Constitution. And we have federal gun legislation saying that nobody can be on the school ground with a gun. And what have we done? Well, we've made every school, every university in the United States a shooting gallery, because a criminal can go on there, or a psychopath, and start shooting people, and he knows that there'll be nobody there with a gun to stop him. Why would you want to make every school a shooting gallery where people could go in and kill our children? And yet, certainly the idea was great. We don't want people going and shooting our children. But there is a law of unintended consequences. And if you have the people with the best intentions who can very often pass laws that will produce far more harm than good. And that's the problem with legislation. And that is why, of course, we have a Constitution. It keeps us from the problems that arise with our good intentions, because our good intentions sometimes and many times will do far more harm than good. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty on Open Line Wednesday. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and it's Open Line Wednesday, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and I certainly will welcome your calls here. But right now, let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
I'm recovering from a bad infection that almost killed me, and I almost got spinal meningitis, really. Actually, it was a hole that went down to my spine that from the surgery.
Well, and I'll tell you what, certainly surgery is wonderful, but when you get an infection, it's really a disaster for the patient and for the doctor. I know I've been there, and I've had patients with infections, and you do everything you can. I'm just glad you're getting better. But what would you like to call about?
Well, you know, my father used to say, and my father was a Republican. He was a Rock River Republican, and he died a couple years ago, and he was pretty old. Born in 1924, and he was an electrical engineer, and he helped design the Bismarck missile back in 59 or 58. He was the design engineer for the Bismarck, which was the first guided missile. And he met President Kennedy and a few things, and he was headed to high-level clearance with the military. And he always used to say that the answer always is somewhere in the middle. He was very moderate, my father, and I follow the same path.
I see. You think that the answer is in the middle, then?
Yeah.
Well, now, what about you think, then, as far as the right of the people to keep and bear arms is in the middle? What about the war in Afghanistan? Should we be middle of voters?
Well,
I think we have to be for or against it.
I think we have
to be for or against the Second Amendment. I do not believe that suddenly, you know, you can be in the middle. People are in the middle. It's sort of like they call them middle of the voters.
Yeah,
the problem is you stand right there in the middle of the road, and you get hit by traffic going in both directions.
It's hard to be in the middle of the road, Dr. Stan, and I've been that way for a long time, and it's just that, and I wanted to apologize to you if I offended you.
Never offended me, Ray. Don't worry about that. Once again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, but go right ahead.
But Kurzweil and the Singularity Institute, I wanted to mention that I investigated that place, and I went over to Moffett Field at night when there was nobody there, and I drove around, and I looked, and there was a complex, you wouldn't believe, but Carnegie Mellon and Google, right next to it, they have a complex where they have families live there at that complex near Moffett Field and Ames, and they're training them for something. I don't know what.
I have no idea, Ray. I'm sorry. I really can't help you there. But I'll tell you, there are all sorts of strange things going on that we really don't understand. I mean, I don't know if you watched the Jesse Ventura conspiracy theory, but he talks about Plum Island, this mysterious island out there in the sound between Lyme, Connecticut, and Long Island. And of course, many people think that's where they have secret experiments there. I mean, it costs your life if you try to get on the island. And basically, of course, this is where they do biological warfare experiments. And, of course, many people believe that Lyme disease is simply either accidentally or intentionally released from there. But you can't find out anything about Plum Island. It's top secret. It's like Agenda 21, Agenda 15, or Area 15. There are all these secrets the government has.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly they're protecting us, but who are they protecting us from? I mean, are they protecting us from the Russians? Are they protecting us from the Chinese?
Yeah.
Are they protecting us from Osama bin Laden, who's over there in a cave, figuring out how he's going to take away our freedom? Or is there an agenda to bring about a one-world totalitarian government?
Dr. Stan, I firmly believe in the biblical... In the King James Version, which I have, I've had all my life, the King James Version, and that's the only one that I really like, actually. I've read it quite a few times, cover to cover, and I'm on several different chapters, Corinthians and Philippians and Romans, and right now I'm kind of reading in between the lines.
Okay, what was the point you wanted to make, Ray?
Well, the point is I'm trying to make is that God's got a plan in motion, and we're in the beginning stages of the tribulation, I believe, and it's not going to get better, and I'm afraid that the demons they will try to make us believe that demonic forces will try to make us believe that the extraterrestrials are actually real, and they'll try to deceive, in that way, I think they'll try to deceive the nations.
Everything is deceit and deception. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Because behind everything going on today is a spiritual battle. We live in a material world, but there's a mystical world. Yeah. We live in a visible world, but there's an invisible world. And suddenly God does work in the affairs of men. Okay, Raymond,
okay,
God bless. And thanks so much for calling. And let's go to Mark, who's calling from Ohio. Once again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But unless we understand the spiritual dimension, we can't understand what's going on politically or what motivates the people who are betraying the trust of the American people, sending our jobs overseas, ascending our wealth overseas, undermining the fabric of our society and the value of our currency, and intent upon creating a one-world government, a one-world religion, because it's all about destroying Christianity and, of course, eventually installing a one-world leader. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Dr. Stan. Yourself?
No complaints at all. What would you like to talk about?
Totally unrelated to the election yesterday, because really I'm just not going to have any reaction to what happened until we see results one way or the other, you know. And I'm basically just bracing myself to get infuriated. So I'd rather not even talk about it because it's like they haven't done anything yet.
Go ahead.
What I wanted to talk about was a lot of people, I'm sure, that listen to your show have watched the original Manchurian Candidate movie that came out in 62.
With Frank Sinatra, sure, and Angela Lansbury and the Queen of Diamonds, and go ahead.
Yes, yep. And that movie, after a year or two in circulation, of course, after Kennedy's assassination, this precipitated it. It was put on the shelf for 25 years. It was taken out of distribution, re-released back in 88, I do believe it was. And I've seen the VHS tape copy of it. Watched it several times, and then a couple weeks ago found at a clearance store the DVD with audio commentary feature by John Frankenheimer, the director. And two very interesting things in that movie. One of them is pretty obvious to those that have watched it. They did want to have a character in the movie that would basically be like Senator McCarthy, because they wanted to smear him. They did not like him. John Frankenheimer, the director himself, says it, that they wanted to basically get back at Joe McCarthy. And the other thing is, and this is highly interesting, is there is a character in the movie who is like one of the antagonists to Angela Lansbury's character, and he has been accused by her of being a communist in the past, and he won a lawsuit against her, and he gave all the money to the ACLU. And John Frankenheimer comments on that part of the movie, saying that himself, John Frankenheimer, the director, and others involved with the movie were card-carrying members of the ACLU. So it makes me see that film in a whole new light, and it makes me wonder, what was their purpose for making that film? Was it not just to discredit Joe McCarthy, but was it also to discredit or poo-poo the idea that there even could be such a thing as a Manchurian candidate? You know, I do believe that the other side, the BOD, Brotherhood of Darkness, they use different techniques to kind of ridicule or dissuade people from believing outlandish, what may appear to be outlandish ideas. For instance, there's the old research about fluoride. You know, it's been used in mind control techniques with the Nazis, with the communists, correct?
Correct, right. And it's being used in America for mind control and fertility control and produce cancer and to produce soft bones so people break their hips and die and all sorts of terrible, terrible things. They know exactly what they're doing. And you tell that to the average American, it couldn't be true. Why, my government wouldn't be poisoning me, would they?
And here's one reason that they do poo-poo that and try to make those of us that know that is true to look foolish is around 62, 63, there was another movie that came out called Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. Stanley Kubrick directed it. Peter Sellers was in it. He had three roles. And it was a comedy. It was a parody, if you will, of a false nuclear alarm, a nuclear attack. And one of the nutty generals that is portrayed in the film, he literally is going nuts, and he declares this code red or whatever, and he sets off this chain of events to bomb Russia. But he says that fluoride in the water is what is know, harming the American population.
And since he's crazy, why, of course, the whole idea is crazy. Of course, they're so clever, and they know how to do these things.
Yep.
Let us get our telephone number out there. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I agree with everything you're saying. Basically, they use the motion pictures to create our reality.
And here's the thing where it ties in with present day, with the current puppet that is in office. There are those on, like, the Fox right, the far right, or the pseudo-conservative right, who say he reads a mean teleprompter. And they're... Want me to wait?
Go right ahead.
And therefore, people think, well, if he reads a mean teleprompter, and that's all he does, and he goofs up when he has to be, you know, on the spot, then, you know, he can't be, there's no way that what he's saying is pre-rehearsed. That kind of, it gets it out of their mind that this guy couldn't be just a trained actor, that he's just stupid, so he reads a teleprompter. He's not. This guy is the best trained actor ever to occupy that office. And he is a phenomenal puppet, and nothing he says is by accident, whether it's deleting parts of the Constitution when he talks, or anything else.
But he left out the part of the Declaration of Independence, not the Constitution.
Yeah. Okay.
But
yeah.
Hang in there. We'll be back in just a moment. Our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Go ahead, Mark.
And then a week or two ago, it was discovered that when he was interviewed by a foreign foreign media, that he said something about...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
How are you listening to us?
I'm calling from upstate New York. I'm on WJIV.
All right, very good. So do you have a question or comment?
I have a comment, Dr. Stan. I've kind of seen the handwriting on the wall for a number of years as to what direction this country's been going. I could probably go back as far as the 1980s. I used to listen to Jimmy Swaggart quite a bit. I used to follow David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson has written several what I'd call prophetic books. I was also at a Jimmy Swaggart crusade. I was at a couple of them, but there was one in particular. I think it was back in 1995. Or I'm sorry, it was back in 1985, 86, and it was in Detroit, Michigan. And the message was death of a nation. And at that time, Jimmy Swaggart believed that ultimately that we would become a communistic, atheistic nation. So there have been a number of people throughout the years that have been addressing these issues and have been predicting as to what would occur and what would happen in America, and it's happening today.
You're absolutely right. Basically, call it communist, call it Marxist, call it what you will. It's collectivist, it's centralization of power and government, which is the antithesis of what our founding fathers wanted for this country. You're right, certainly, but remember, what people really don't understand is that the people who control America today are the people who've been funding communism, first in Russia from 1918 on, and then, of course, they brought the communists to power in China, and, of course, we're doing everything we can today to build up communist China after the so-called fall of communism back in 1989. Then, of course, we sent our people over there to build the oil wells and drill the natural gas wells. So Russia would have income. They could become the largest exporter of oil and natural gas. But it has all been done from America. We have funded communism since its inception, created the finest enemy money could buy.
Well, you know, the other thing is, Dr. Stan, I can't just blame the government for our problems, but I can blame the number of the citizens in this country for what I'd call lack of knowledge or from being well-informed. And there is a Bible...
Go right ahead.
There is a Bible scripture. It's in the book of Hosea. It says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Right.
And I think that's been the problem throughout history and time, and even in this country. I think the problem is that as a whole and collectively that we've taken things for granted and we've allowed things to get out of hand. We've for the most part, we've lost our checks and balances, and we're repeating history.
You're absolutely right. And basically, we have to, because the problem is that the media is controlled, and so people don't learn what's really going on, and then because they took over control of the educational system, one of the biggest problems is the ministers, and it's simply that in seminaries they were told, oh, never take over anything, separation of church and state, you're not to talk about what's going on. Believe me, 100 years ago, the ministers used to give sermons on election day and tell people how to vote and what the moral is were. And of course, a lot of the problems we have today could be laid at the door of the church, where the ministers, because they have a 501c3 status, are afraid to speak out. So we need ministers who have more fear of God than they do of government. And then, of course, our job is to educate the people, because they bought up the major media in the United States at the beginning of the last century, about 1915. And that's, of course, when J.P. Morgan and his friends got together 12 newspaper publishers, and they decided how they would control the media. They picked 176 newspapers, and then they narrowed it down to 25, and they figured if they could control the editorial policy of 25 newspapers, they can control what the American people thought. They did it, they bought it, and they got the American people to believe we had to enter the First World War because, of course, the terrible atrocities, which were true. Oh, we had to enter the First World War to make the world safe for democracy. And this would be the war to end all wars. It was all a lie. And they've controlled the media ever since then.
Well, you know, there's another thing that I brought up to a family member, and I asked the family member, I'd say a couple months ago, the question I posed to him then, I said, well, why have dictatorships been in existence throughout history? And the problem is that the majority of the people are always willing to go along with it. Is it because they're nearsighted, or is it because they have nobody else to turn to?
They're basically, in the past, down through the ages, everything was a dictatorship. Emperors, kings, tribal chiefs, dictators, pharaohs, call them what you will. Not until we had America, which was unique in the history of all nations, because here the Constitution limits the power of government. The Constitution was simply the continuation of the Declaration of Independence, which proclaimed that our freedoms came from God, not from government. And the governments were instituted among men to preserve our God-given rights, basing their authority on the consent of the governed. Hang on there. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dave at our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Dave from upstate New York. Dave, is there anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, I guess at this point, and it's been a concern of mine for a number of years now, Dr. Stan, that I believe that the majority of the people in this country don't see the whole picture, and that's one thing that really concerns me the most. And, you know, unfortunately, history does repeat itself, but at this point, I would have to say that, like I said, I've seen the handwriting on the wall for a number of years now. But as you know, I feel like I'm in the minority in this country. I feel like a stranger in my own country.
The encouraging thing is more and more people are waking up. Don't despair. You know, just keep trying to tell people. Maybe they haven't listened to you in the past, but you're going to find more and more people looking for answers. And you need to get them listening to talk radio and get them to listen to Alex, get them to listen to me, get them to listen to Joyce, get them to listen to John Loeffler. We've got the message out there, and hopefully something that you say or Alex says or Joyce says, the light will go on. And, of course, somebody once said, you know, upon one man's life it has fallen, a light that doth not depart. And a word or a look or a word he has spoken wrought a flame in another man's heart. Let's hope that will happen all across America in the coming years. Okay?
Okay.
God bless, and thanks very much. Let's go to Jeff, who's calling from Lansing, Michigan. Hi, Jeff. Are you listening to our radio station back there?
Yep, WLCM.
Great, okay. We've had a great station back there, and, of course, the Christian Broadcasting Network. And do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. Around Lansing, recently I read a story about a pro-life activist. He was kind of checking out what was going on around one of the abortion clinics around here, and he looked in the dumpster, and in the dumpster were 7 aborted fetuses with the names of the mothers on the plastic bags and a biohazard thing. And he took that information to the attorney general, and they pursued the case, and the representatives and stuff caught wind of it around here. So now they're crafting legislation now to ensure proper fetus disposal, I guess, because of the indignity of this and the fact that these fetuses were just tossed in the dumpster.
Yeah, the total disregard for human life, but it's really the attitude of the elite that really want to kill off most of the world's population. But
right.
I think it's just such a flagrant example. I share your outrage, and I'm outraged as well.
And I wanted to go on.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Jeff calling from Lansing, Michigan, and listening to our CBN station back there. He's just talking about there, and they have an abortion clinic, and they were just taking the aborted fetuses, putting them in a plastic bag, and they had six or seven of them just thrown in a dumpster there. Somebody found them, and now they're going to remedy that. They're just going to, not have a more appropriate a destruction of human life, a disposal of dead unborn children. Little children will never have an opportunity to laugh or run or sing. Go right ahead, Jeff.
Yep, and I went and I'm going to write a letter to the editor regarding this, kind of in connection with it. And so I started to do a little bit of research. I've already got some research done, but I looked online and I was looking for details on the procedure and kind of the stages of life, you know, in pregnancy, where the fetus begins to have fingers and fingernails and fingerprints and a beating heart and stuff like that. And I stumbled on kind of a little 4-minute music video that it just has music in the background, and it describes it just basically contrasts the beauty of pregnancy and carrying the baby to term and the beauty of birth and the wonder of it and everything else with abortion. And it shows in there just the horrific, you know, results of abortion. And it shows, you know, you hear about these parades, or, you know, you hear about where people are having a gathering and then, oh, it was so disgusting, I saw a picture of an aborted fetus, and that should be outlawed, and they shouldn't be able to do that. But that is the truth. When you see an aborted fetus, if you see a picture of an aborted fetus, that is abortion. That's the truth of it. It is a human being murdered and torn to pieces. I mean, and it's an atrocity. And what I wanted to ask you is, 50 million, you know, 50 million of these atrocities have gone on so far in this country under law. I mean, it's not against the law. That's the atrocity of it to me. And I'm wondering what your take is on the spiritual aspect of this atrocity that's going on in this country.
Well, I think that basically what this is simply this is an affront to God. There is a spiritual aspect of it. This is a Luciferian human sacrifice. And basically, people who have actually worked in the abortion mills and come out of it have even talked about in certain of the abortion mills why there are witches, bands of witches there. We're not going to talk about that. That sounds so far out. But I remember this one woman who had actually been part of it talking about the witchcraft in abortion mills. Oh, some people are just in it for the money, but there is a powerful spiritual element, because they're creating one of God's highest creations, a unique individual unlike any other, made in the image and likeness of God. Hey, we're going to have to let you go, Jeff, but thanks very much for your call, and I share your outrage, I share your concern, and my fear is God is one day is going to bring his judgment on this country because we've tolerated this sort of thing.
All right, thanks, Dr. Stan.
God bless. Let's go to Andrew, who's calling us, and hi, Andrew, where are you calling from?
Yes, Stan. I'm actually calling from my house up in Lake Don Pedro, but...
Okay, fine. Well, that's part of the country you're calling from. Okay. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, actually, I'm here at your invitation to discuss the Center for Cultural Leadership Conference. It's going to be in San Francisco this coming Saturday, actually Saturday the 13th, which is the following Saturday. And you mentioned maybe a possibility to discuss that briefly, and so that's why I'm calling.
Go right ahead. This program is going to be where?
At the Embassy Suites.
Embassy Suites?
In Burlingame, which is right there at San Francisco Airport.
All right, fine. And it's a meeting, and basically what's it going to be covering?
Yeah, well, the Center for Cultural Leadership is having its 10th annual conference titled Our Collapsing Culture and How to Rebuild It. The speakers are one man whom you told me that you've well aware of, my longtime friend Peter Jones, who will be discussing the paganization of our culture. He's written a book recently on the affront to dualisms in our culture, and duality and androgyny and other aspects to break down the sorts of separateness that God has established between men and women and so forth.
All right. Now, basically, how, if people wanted to go to this meeting at the Embassy Suites up by the San Francisco airport, how would they go about doing that?
The best way is, Stan, to get in their automobile and drive there and to be there at 9 in the morning. It's from 9 to 3.
All right, fine. That's the Embassy Suites. This coming Saturday, is it?
Actually, it's not this coming Saturday, Stan. It's the following Saturday, November the 13th. November 13th at Embassy Suites.
All right, fine. People don't need any...
No registration or anything like that.
All right, God bless, and thanks very much for letting us know.
Sure thing. Thank you.
God bless. And let's go to our... Tim is calling us from Rockford, Michigan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295. And hi, Tim. Question or comment?
Oh, hi, Dr. Stan. I wanted to touch on a few things here real quick. First of all, medical surgeon retired, Dr. Rudy Kaufman, he's out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. He states that keeping your brain active is four times more important than keeping your body active.
Well, I think you ought to do both, but certainly you got to keep your mind active, that's for sure.
Uh-huh. As we get older is what I'm saying.
Right.
And also, I happened to notice Barbara Boxer's face quick on television this evening. And she looked worn and hackneyed, you know, 18 years now. 18 years. What can she do? And then you have her cohort, Feinstein, whose husband, Richard Bloom, some kind of scandal where $25 billion was routed to his company. This is not good for our type of, nothing personal, but our type of electoral government. Keep it fresh blood. Keep it moving.
Well, but you have to understand that Dianne Feinstein and her husband have been in all sorts of crooked deals. And, of course, if there was any integrity in the Senate, they would call her. But it's camaraderie and gentlemen and ladies, and you would never want to insult another person. Basically, she and her husband have stolen so much money, and $25 billion, that you probably never heard the story of the chocolate gunnery range. But basically, they arranged a situation where they gave a certain amount of empty land in the Mojave Desert, and they got this massive, one of the richest gold mines anywhere in the country, given to Diane's husband. And, of course, our good friend Karen Lee Bixman, when she was working, had that story. We still have that in our files. But, yes, Dianne Feinstein is a woman without integrity, and she's in this for the money. And she's really an embarrassment. I knew her dad. He was a physician, and he was one of my medical school teachers, but I'm ashamed of her. Anyway, anything else you wanted to say?
Well, we might as well go back to the feudal system. These people are kings and queens and princesses, and we're all a bunch of serfs. But I found out that the Rothschilds, the international banksters, they own AP, Associated Press. And President Taft, he was the son of Alfonso Taft, who in 1933 was co-founder of Skull and Bones. And we know Skull and Bones founded the CFR, which one of our controlled media talking heads, he's on a morning show, Beck, I guess his name is, he promotes, he brings counsel and foreign relation guests on pretty much daily and promotes them and stuff. So,
well, that's how you get ahead in the world. You belong to the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Club of Rome. You're going to get all sorts of invitations. Amazingly enough, I never get any invitations. Doesn't bother me in the least. What we need to do is expose these people for what they are. They're a small, little, subversive cabal, probably not more than 6,000 people, who control the world. And certainly you can read a book. It's called The Superclass by David Rothkopf. David Rothkopf, he's part of it. He wrote the book. Of course, it's designed to play down the significance of the Trilateral Commission, to ridicule it. Oh, my goodness, these people are. How could anybody even give a look upon them seriously? So most of what he says is true, but he plays down the really important organizations. And it is not simply by accident that between 1977 and the year 2008, every president and or Vice President of the United States came from this inconsequential organization that, according to Barry Goldwater, was specifically formed, and that's Barry Goldwater's book with no apologies you can get from Radio Liberty, was formed to take over political control of the United States. government, and they have. Hey, Tim, we got to run, but thanks very much for calling.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Roman, who's calling from the great state of Ohio. Roman, how are you listening to us?
Shortwave radio, Dr.
Okay,
Stan.
Okay, very good. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I do have a comment about our precious president. I'm saying that sarcastically, Barack Obama. Now, he's planning on going on this big, expensive vacation on my and your dime, and he's going over here to India, this Taj Mahal, and he's taking all the hotel. He's taking all these people and planes and everything else, all this money with him. I wonder, has it ever crossed anybody's mind that he's getting ready to set up his government in exile because he knows there's just liable to be some real fighting in a short while?
No, I don't think he's doing that, but I do know the Bush family bought 200,000 acres in Paraguay. Why would anybody in their right mind buy 200,000 acres in Paraguay? Well, I think it was because they know there's going to be unrest here, and we know that we've been told by people who are retired intelligence agencies to get out of this country because there's going to be civilian unrest. I don't think Obama's going to leave just yet, though.
Well, that's one of the things. I just wondered if it crossed anybody's mind.
Okay, fine. Well, I am incensed that he would take a journey over there at our expense. If he wants to go over on his own expense, fine, but we're going to have to pay for Air Force One, and we're going to have to pay for his junket, and he's going to cover this in the name of international diplomacy, and it's a charade.
Right.
And he ought to be ashamed of himself.
Exactly. All right, that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay, God bless.
It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Okay, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And let's go to, is this Sandy?
Yes, hello, Dr. Stan.
Hi, Sandy. How are you? Are you listening to us on one of the ACN stations?
On the American Christian Network on the radio.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
I had a comment. I heard a report on the news tonight that they implanted a microchip in a blind person's eye, and it does the work of the retina. And so the problem is that they don't stop there. You know, so how can a person argue with that? I mean, it's helping a blind person to see.
I really can't. I can't comment. I don't know anything at all about it. But that is entirely different than the chips that they're identification chips. And of course, you always wonder. Well, they can implant the chip. Maybe it would help somebody. I don't know. I find it difficult to believe that they could restore sight. But what about the problems that certainly many of the animals who have these chips? At least 1-2% of them are developing tumors. Could these people develop tumors from these chips they're putting in the eye? I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But, you know, when you start playing God, you get into real trouble.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, where does it stop?
Well,
you know,
I don't think it's going to stop. I'll tell you some
of
the things.
How far are they going to go?
They are going into transhumanism. Tom Horn, I did a program with him recently, and I think it's called Forbidden Gate, his latest book, Forbidden Gate. You can get it from Tom. He's not made it available to others, but they are really planning on creating animal-human hybrids. And the ability is there, whether you do it through cloning or genetic manipulation or injecting animal genes into humans or human genes into animals. Yes. And they already have the ability, and they have actually injected genes into a mouse's brain.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think God's going to take kindly to this myself. I think that one of these days, somebody once said, you know, God's coming back soon, and boy, is he mad. And everybody laughs, but I don't think we should laugh. I think we ought to tremble.
Yes, definitely. Well, I just wanted to let you know that.
All right, God bless, and I appreciate so much your calling, Sandy.
Thank you,
and let's go to Dwayne calling from Spokane, Washington. And once again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Dwayne, how are you doing?
Good, Dustin. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. In fact, I feel very, very good after yesterday. I think they're going to be able to get any bad legislation through Congress once the new Congress is there. At least I hope not. I hope we get a gridlock and nothing gets accomplished for the next 2 years. That'll mean we have a couple of years to try to get things straightened out. So, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. Actually, well, I. As always, I really appreciate your program, and God bless you, and I just, it was kind of two quick questions slash comments. We have an abortion clinic up here in Spokane, and I was wondering, I'm kind of new to politics and stuff, but I was wondering, is how many votes does it take, or how many signatures do you have to get to try to get something on to be voted on? Because the goal that me and some people have been talking about is trying to see if we can get to make it a lot harder. I know that, you know, probably with our government, they probably won't, you know, make it illegal, but try to make abortion at least a lot harder, especially in, you know, Washington, as far, and even, you know, it'd even be better if it was, you know, the whole country. But I wonder how many signatures it would, you know, on average it would take to get that to be, even be put up to be voted on.
Well, first of all, you would have to have a congressman who would actually be willing to introduce legislation. Remember when the Bush administration controlled both the Senate and the House and the executive branch of government, and they certainly had a lot of friends on the Supreme Court. Oh, but all they had to do was pass legislation saying Roe versus Wade is void. And furthermore, the Supreme Court cannot even comment on this, and that you can do that, Congress can do that, and the Supreme Court cannot challenge the Congress once that's done. And neither nor George Bush nor the leaders of the House or the leaders of the Senate suggested that, because they pretended to be pro-life. You've got to give people the idea that the Republican Party is pro-life and the Democrat Party is pro-choice, and the Republican Party is traditional values, you know, against homosexuality, and the Democrats are pro-homosexual, and it's all a fraud. In fact, some of the key people in the Bush administration, George Bush's, fellow who managed his campaign, a fellow named Melman, was a closet homosexual, and George Bush, placed at the highest civilian position in the Defense Department, a known homosexual who screened officers for promotion in the Defense Department and picked those who were pro-homosexual. What does that tell you about George Bush? It should tell you a lot about him. So basically, of course, it's all showbiz. What we need is an incensed public. What we need to do is restore the belief in the importance of life, human life. And it really all centers around God. If certainly there's no God, human life is unimportant. If there is a God, then every individual is a unique individual, and those lives need to be saved. The most important thing we can do, Duane, is to reinstitute, rekindle that belief in God, and fear of God, and understanding of God, and love of God, and realize, of course, that he hates abortion. He hates this destruction of human life. That's where we're going to get started. So don't worry about trying to do it politically. Nothing's going to change until we have a massive revival in America. We had one in 1730. We had one in 1830. Do you think we could get one going here before long? If we don't, America, as far as I'm concerned, is lost. Anything else you wanted to say?
No, actually, that's pretty much it. I just...
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we do have, I think, one more caller. If he comes on, we'll get him, get our producer.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
To remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there across America and you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. You can join the Tape of the Month Club and get our four best tapes or CDs and our monthly newsletter. Or you can simply subscribe to the newsletter, whatever you can do. We'll appreciate your help because we want to maintain the network of 60 outlets we have every single week. And we're reaching people all across America. And quite frankly, we need your help to continue doing what we're doing. And we'd love to expand, but we're not going to do it until we're in a position to do it. So if you're out there and you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, don't be bashful. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Let me suggest William Still's book, The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there have been secret societies around since the inception of mankind, and they always had a plan to bring about a world government headed by a world leader. You go back and read Plato's Republic. Plato was a disciple of the mysteries, and he was talking about this just man who was going to rule the world. And, of course, Aristotle was in on it, Alexander the Great. That's why he tried to take over the world. And he was a student of the mysteries, and you can read the book of Plutarch's The Age of Alexander, and if you'll find out that there Plutarch's written in the first century, writing about how Alexander was a disciple of the mystery religions, just exactly as Thomas Jefferson was a disciple of the mystery religions. How do I know? Well, I've got a set of books written in 1840 by Washington Irving, and of course there's some quotations about Jefferson and the mystery religions. But Thomas Jefferson had an idea of creating a unique nation, and he did play an important part on creating that nation. He wanted a nation where men would be free from religious restrictions, free from government restrictions. We are indebted to him. But remember, his ideas that he presented in the Declaration came from John Locke. Came from William Blackstone, and they came from Sidney. They were both Christians, and these ideas of nature's God and nature's law are the idea that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator. These ideas certainly reflected the Christian beliefs. At that time, there were two forces. There were the Christians, and there were the occultists. You need to get the DVD set, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, and there I explain what this is all about. Now, I didn't produce the DVDs, but I do appear in all three of them. So if you'd like to get them, they're available, one or all three, by calling 1-800-544. 8927. There has been an occult influence here ever since America was founded, but there's been a Christian influence here. But the Christian influence, unfortunately, has been subverted because they've infiltrated our seminaries, they've infiltrated our colleges, they control our media, they control the banking system, they control the great corporations. They are the Brotherhood of Darkness, and of course you need to read my book. You need, of course, to get the DVD by Patrick Wood on the Trilateral Commission. You need to understand the Trilateral Commission. We do have secondhand copies of Barry Goldwater's book with no apologies. You need to get them. You need to read what Barry Goldwater said from page 280 to the end of that chapter. The whole book is good, but that's where the really important things are, that entire chapter on certainly on the people who run our government. Barry Goldwater's book with no apologies is available in used edition from Radio Liberty. You need to get a Tragedy and Hope by Professor Quigley. Or if you don't like to read Beat Book, get the little the summary of that. None Dare Call It Conspiracy. We carry that. You need to get Fire in the Minds of Men by James H. Billington, the Librarian of Congress, where he tells all about the Illuminati and the secret societies. Doesn't tell you how they came to America, because he's part of the Council on Foreign Relations, and after all, I'm sure he'd like to live to a ripe old age. But it's a fascinating book, Fire in the Minds of Men. And so we ask you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and then pray for Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Ralph Epperson. And certainly when I mentioned that we were going to have Ralph on this evening to my producer, he said, you know, I heard him a long time ago, and certainly at an entirely different time of his life, but the impact that Ralph had had on this man's life and changing his thinking. Well, Ralph has started out with a book called The Unseen Hand, and then he wrote a book on the New World Order, and certainly these are classic books, and we always are looking for the new book, the new gimmick, the new way, the new a new vehicle by which we're going to convince people about what's going on. But, you know, we need to actually stick with some of the old things, because there's nothing wrong with Ralph Epperson's initial book. His two initial books begin to introduce us to this fact that there is an ancient plan to bring about a one-world government. It is demonstrated on the back of your dollar bill, the pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye. And don't believe, people said, oh, that's a Christian emblem. Oh, there are 13 stairs there, the 13 colonies. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an occult emblem. The triangle with the all-seeing eye is the symbol of the mystery religions. It's been around for 4,000 years, probably 4,200 years. Some people say 6,000, but really we can trace it back to the time of Nimrod or shortly thereafter when this effort to bring about a world government. And it was put on the back of the dollar bill, and every occultist in the world understands, and not one Christian in 1,000 understands, the significance of this truly Luciferian emblem on the back of the dollar bill beneath the caption, "In God We Trust." And they laugh because they're talking about a different God. And people do not understand that there really are people who worship Lucifer because Lucifer gives you wealth and fame, and you can do whatever you want to do if you give your life to him. And just as a Christian, of course, gives their life to our Savior and asks him to guide his life, so the people on the other side have given their life to Lucifer. And these people have accumulated some of the richest men in the world. Of course, are part of this cabal. I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness. Well, let's get to Ralph Epperson because he's here with us, and I thought we'd talk about what he has known and talked about in the past, and that is this drive towards the one world government, which is the basic thrust of the leaders of both political parties. And that's why we're sending our jobs overseas, why our factories overseas, why we're bringing people in here with H-1B visas, why they want a multilingual society. That's why when you call AT&T or PG&E or the major corporations, they say, "Do you want your message in English or in Spanish?" And why? Because they want a multilingual society. They want to destroy America, but they're not going to tell you that. That's why they're not enforcing our immigration laws. Ralph Epperson, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, it's my pleasure, Dr. Stan. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you. And why don't you just pick up this idea?
Well, Dr. Stan, if I may, I'd like to show you part of the New World Order.
All right.
And that is the separation of church and state. And I wanted to, perhaps if your listeners have never heard the story of River, Missouri, we can cover that tonight.
All right, we will. Well, Ralph is, as they say, has written two books, and he's written more books than that. He's got all sorts of DVDs and videos out there. But, I mean, these were the classic ones. And the unseen hand, is there an unseen hand behind the scenes? Absolutely. And of course they say, "Oh, you believe in a conspiracy? Very good. You know, you read the Bible. In the Bible they talk about conspiracies over and over again. Get out your Strong's Concordance and go through it." They use the word conspiracy over and over again. Why? Because there's a conspiracy against God. That's what it's all about. That's why they took God and prayer and the Bible and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. That's what the wall of separation of church and state is all about, the hatred of God. Well, Ralph, you go right ahead.
Okay, Dr. Stan, thank you very much. We've all heard that Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter. Well, he claimed that the Constitution states that there'll be a separation of church and state, and I won't get into the details of that, but except to explain that it's not in the Constitution. We will read what the Constitution does say, and then ask a couple of questions, and then get into the history of the little town of Liberal, Missouri, founded in 1880. Let's go back now to the letter by Thomas Jefferson, something to the effect that we were going to build this Constitution in such a way that we would separate church and state, and thereby enjoying the fruits of the labors or something like that.
So basically it was a letter that he sent to a group of Baptist ministers.
Yes.
Connecticut? Where was it? Anyway, of course, a group of Baptist ministers were concerned because they'd heard that Thomas Jefferson, you know, wanted to establish a state religion, or he was going to outlaw religion or something, you know, because, of course, people were very concerned about his views. And he wrote this letter back, Danbury, Connecticut, the Baptist in Danbury, Connecticut. Pick up the story there, Ralph.
Well, that's what happened. He did say something to the effect they're going to separate church and state, but that's not in the Constitution. But we're going to talk about what is in the Constitution and what happens when we do separate church and state.
Well, what he said in essence in the letter was that essentially the federal government is never going to tell the ministers what to preach. It didn't say that the ministers were not to try to influence government. It was simply a one-way wall. The wall was to prevent the government from interfering with the practice of religion. The federal government, not all government, simply the federal government was not to be involved. And if you read the First Amendment, it says Congress shall make no law. It doesn't say the state shall make no law, the city shall make no law. It was only the Congress. In fact, at the time when the Constitution was written, a number of our states had state religions. So obviously there was no way that this could ever been interpreted, that the states and other things, institutions of government, could not have a religion. It was only the, it was to restrict the power of Congress. Wasn't that right, Ralph?
That's correct. And we're going to examine that. Because there's something that we as Americans are not completely aware of, and it's a very interesting question. Because today the courts are ruling that you can't take a Bible on a school campus, your children can't pray at school, they can't read the Bible during lunchtime, and in their exercises when they go to a graduation, no mention of God or anything else. And let's read the First Amendment and see whether or not the courts can act when that happens. The First Amendment, written as the first of the Ten Amendments called the Bill of Rights, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or, notice there's an or here, prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So that's the part we don't talk about. Why don't we talk about the prohibiting the free exercise thereof?
But you see, of course, it is all part of a conspiracy against God. We'll be back here in just a moment with Ralph Epperson. Go right ahead, Ralph.
Okay, now, let's go this way. Now, when the court says that a child cannot carry a Bible into the classroom, what law did Congress pass requiring the child to carry a Bible into the classroom? None. There's no law. Therefore, the Supreme Court, or any court, cannot act. There's no law. They say you can't take a Bible and study it during lunch hour. What law did they have that wrote and passed that required a child to take a Bible and study it at lunchtime? None. When the judge put up the Ten Commandments in his courtroom, or in the city hall or county hall, wherever it was, what law did Congress pass requiring him to do that? None.
But I think, Ralph, this is all part of the fact that there is a conspiracy against Christianity. But go right ahead.
But here's the point, Dr. Stan. No one is saying that. Why are they not saying it? What law did Congress pass requiring students at the graduation ceremony to praise God? What law? If there's no law, Congress, the Supreme Court, cannot act. They can only have voice when Congress passes the law, and then they can declare the law unconstitutional. To my knowledge, no one's using that argument. I am. Understand. There is no law requiring children to carry Bibles into classrooms.
Well, of course, the reasoning is, well, they say it's the 14th Amendment. Now, it was never intended by the people who passed the 14th Amendment, but the 14th Amendment says that certainly the states, now we will apply to the states the same restrictions we put on Congress. The First Amendment says Congress shall pass no law respecting the establishment of religion or restricting the free exercise thereof. So they take that over to the states. The state of Louisiana shall pass no law respecting an establishment of religion, or restricting the free exercise thereof. Of course, they forget the second part, but what they're saying is, of course, if they have Bible reading in school, that's establishing a religion, that's establishing Christianity, and that they can't do that because the First Amendment and then the 14th Amendment added onto it, restricts the ability of the children to do it, so they can't bring a Bible to school. But you and I both know it is all because there's this intense hatred of God. And as you know, it was the Masons on the United States Supreme Court who controlled the Supreme Court from 1931 to 1941 to 1971 for a period of 31 years. Those Masons wanted to destroy the religious foundation of this country so that they could take away our freedom, because they know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and that's not what they want, because they've sworn their allegiance to the light. But go ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, if I may, please understand, I'm trying to point out that the only time the Supreme Court can act is when Congress passes a law that's declared to be unconstitutional. And so I'm asking the question, and I want your listeners to ask the question, what law was passed by Congress requiring a child to carry a Bible into the schoolroom? None. There's no law. So if a child carries a Bible into the classroom, the federal courts cannot act. They cannot act. There's no way they can act.
But they do act. That is the problem.
I know, Dr. Stan, but please understand, I'm trying to say, this answer is very simple. I've never heard one defendant claim Well, wait a minute. What law did I violate? It's always, well, I guess you're right. I'll take the thing out or I'll stop it. And our schools are doing this. Why? There's been no law passed. And the only time the Supreme Court can act is when they decide a law passed is unconstitutional. That's my point.
Okay, point well made.
Okay, now, let's go into the example of what happens when you do separate church and state. Because we've been there, done that, already in America. It's already been tried. Let's show you how. There was a town called Liberal, Missouri, founded in 1880 by George Walzer. George Walzer was one time, I think, a minister, or at least a Christian, and he decided Christianity didn't match up with what he wanted to believe, so he decided to establish a city that would, quote, separate church and state, unquote. Now, what he said was there'll be no God, no hell, no churches, and most importantly, no saloons. He wanted it to be exclusively the home of infidels, where people could bring up their children without religious training. He started it in 1880. No Christians were allowed into the city. Now, how he did that, I don't know. But that's what all the research I've developed says. 5 years later, a Christian preacher by the name of Clark Brayton, who was an evangelist and an expositor, a debater on the issue of Christianity, went into the town, apparently snuck in, and he asked all the people what was going on. He watched and observed. And here's what he said in 1885. The boast about sobriety on the town was false. He said, there'll be no saloons. No. Drunkenness was everywhere. He said, few of the infidels are total abstainers. Nearly every inhabitant, old and young, swears habitually. Lack of reverence for parents and of disobedience to them was the rule. There was no lack of loose women in their public dances. In no town was slander more prevalent or the charges more vile. The hotels were filled with prostitution. He found sexually transmitted diseases. He found murder. He found drunken fathers abusing their wives and children. He found heartache caused by divorce, adultery, and covetousness. 9/10 of the people wanted to move, he said, if they could leave. But they weren't able to leave because they all had mortgages. And no one wanted to come in to buy their house. So he wrote, these are the fruits of atheism, a society in which everyone does that which is right in his own eyes. And this is what happens when you separate church and state. What happens when you create a society where each man can make his own decisions about right and wrong? Now, let me remind your listeners, that this is not new. In the book of Judges, chapter 17, verse 6, it was once practiced by the Israelites. Here's what it says. Quote, in those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did what was right in his own eyes, end quote. That's exactly what the town of Liberal, Missouri discovered. And finally, he said, he found the town fathers finally realized this wasn't working. So they asked the churches to come in, and one man commented he would never again want to live in a town without churches. Now, here's the point. The Christians came back to Liberal, Missouri, and it's now a city north of Joplin, Missouri. It's still alive. America, there's a lesson here, because when we separate church and state, we're going to get the exact same results. Who's to decide what's right and wrong if the churches don't teach us? Each man. It's in the book of the Judges, and it happened in the little town called Liberal, Missouri. Liberal meaning liberal, in the sense that we have even defined it today. This is the whirlwind that we will experience when we separate church and state.
Well, I think we're already experiencing it. Certainly, we've seen right now today 40% of children are born out of wedlock. Certainly, 25% of black white children are 75% of black children. Certainly we have about 43, 44 million people living on food stamps dependent upon the government. We have a society, you know, where we, one in every 33 adult males, adults is in prison or probation or parole today. One in every three young black men, 21 to 31, are in prison, probation, or parole today. That's the end result of taking God and prayer out of our schools. And also, of course, outlawing drugs. Of course, the thing is that the CIA doesn't want competition, so they put the people in jail who are opposing what the CIA is doing. The largest, certainly, a purveyor of drugs anywhere in the world, and everybody knows that except the American people. But go right ahead. Well, I think we're seeing the end result of turning your back on God.
Yes, we're separating church and state. We're teaching humanism in our schools today. Humanism is a religion certified to be one by the Supreme Court, and also they were granted a 501c3 religious exemption by the Congress. Now, I want to show you one more example of what happens when you tear down the commandment, thou shalt not steal. We separate church and state. I have an article from me, very brief. I'm going to read just one short paragraph of about three. Arizona Daily Star, November 20th, 2008. A Russian has been sentenced in New York, so he was an American citizen apparently, but he was, I guess, from Russia someplace in his past, has been sentenced to prison for stealing more than $1 million from victims chosen from the Forbes 400 list of wealthy Americans. Now, why, Dr. Stan, why is that wrong? Why do we punish him?
Well, I think you know why. For the same reason we put people in prison for killing. You know, we say there are no right and wrong, but we put people in prison. They have to stop, you know. There has to be laws or else you'll have social anarchy. Of course, we're moving towards social anarchy, unfortunately, and we're killing people all throughout the world with our military. The purpose of the military is to kill people. So why are we sending them around the world to kill people? Go ahead.
Okay, the answer is because we are stealing. It's stealing. When you take from someone without permission, it's called stealing.
Well, I know, but there's no right and wrong. What's wrong with stealing?
No, but that's my point. Please, Dr. Stan, let me take, I'm going someplace with this.
Okay, go ahead.
This man appealed and said, wait a minute, I took from the rich. And they said, I don't care who you took it from, you stole. Stealing is defined as taking property without permission. Now, what he should have said is, quote, I think when you spread the wealth around, it's good for everybody. Who said that? Barack Obama. Now, Barack Obama is going to steal from the rich, but he doesn't go to jail like this Russian. Why? Why? Isn't it the same thing? Yes, and we'll see that when we come back from the break.
All right, fine. Well, how about getting onto the New World Order? I mean, I think that's really something that people really need to understand, is that the major purpose behind everything going on is to bring up world government. I thought that your book on the New World Order was really so important, didn't you?
Oh, yes, that's why I wrote it, Dr. Stan.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment with Ralph Epperson. But certainly the fact that they've taken God and prayer out of our schools, this didn't happen, had nothing to do with the Constitution, it had to do with an agenda. And until people understand that, it doesn't make any sense. When you understand Masonry, it makes a lot of sense. Ralph.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
And I say, gosh darn, I wonder who stole my lawnmower. So I walk down the street, and as I'm going for my morning walk, I notice that my lawnmower is in the backyard of my neighbor. And I know that I didn't loan it to him. It's been stolen. Now, I call the police, and they find my lawnmower. It's clearly marked Ralph Everson on it. And he will say, well, I borrowed it from Ralph. And I say, that's not true. It's been stolen. I filed a report, you know, with the police. It's been stolen. Do I get my lawnmower back? Yes. Why? It's not his. It's mine. Now, we punish thievery. Now, when someone steals, it's not stealing to take back that which was stolen from you. And this is what Robin Hood did. There's not one example in that entire movie of him stealing from the rich, period. Not one. It's always taking back the excessive taxation stolen by King, John, or whatever his name was. Isn't that true? There's not one example. So Robin Hood did not steal from the rich to give to the poor. He took back that which was stolen by the government. How about Jesse James? I've written a book about Jesse, and I studied it. I can only find one story, and it's probably a story of that, where he gave money back to a poor lady. He never once gave back. He stole, but he never gave it to the poor that I can find. Now, wait a minute. Who was he stealing from? When he robbed a bank, he claimed that the owner was a northerner, a northern general or something, like in the Northfield raid up in Minnesota. He robbed the bank because it was owned by a northern general who was ripping off his friends. Now, when he robbed the bank, whose money did he take? It wasn't the money of the bank owner. It was the deposits made by the people in Northfield. Isn't that true? The money did belong to the man in charge. He might get a salary part of it or something, but the money that he took was deposits. When the people got robbed, they go back the next morning and say, I want my money back, and the bank said, I don't have it because Jesse James stole it. Jesse did not steal from the rich to give to the poor, neither did Robin Hood. But our government, Barack Obama, can do it because he's got government on his side, just like King John in the Robin Hood movies. It's called stealing. Stealing has been defined, as I'll repeat it again, as taking from one to give to another, and it has been the definition for 6,000 years. And God's prohibited it specifically in one of the Ten Commandments. So this thing, thou shalt not steal, unless it's sharing the wealth, as Obama said the commandment reads, is it? Obama is going to steal the money from the wealthy. Now, if they vote to give it away, then through taxes, that's fine. They have the right to do that. That's their money. But when he comes and says, you owe us 10% more than what you paid last year on the same amount of income, they say, I'm not going to pay it, the man goes to jail.
Well, I think that what you have to point out, he's talking about people over 200 taking $250,000. But with the inflation that's coming, a lot of people are going to be making that. That's the middle class. The rich are going to find means around paying their taxes through the setting up of family foundations, things of that sort. All of this talk about taking from the rich is really about taking it from the middle class and wiping them out. That is, of course, what this is really about. And Barack Obama knows that. He knows that the rich put him in power, and all this talk about taking from the rich, they're certainly going to find means to avoid it. But with the alternative, as it was with the alternative minimum tax, which was only for the very rich, and now it is on the back of so many of probably a third to a half of the middle class. So this new taxes that Obama's going to put on are a means of taxing the middle class. But he can't say that. It's always under the guise of taking from the rich.
Okay, now let's go to the Declaration of Independence. And it says there that government derives their just powers from the consent of the governed. Okay? In other words, if you take from the people without their consent, it's called tyranny. Been that definition for 6,000 years. So they were saying the only government exists if it's just. It taxes those with the consent of the people. Now, if the minority votes no, are they giving their consent? No. Not at all. No, they're not. Why do we? Here's the question I've been asking for years now on talk shows and interviews. Okay, go ahead, Bill. Cover that in a minute.
Right ahead, amigo. I'll tell you when we're going to stop. Go ahead.
Okay, very good. Here's the question. When the government taxes the minority without their consent, is that not tyranny? It's been the definition for 6,000 years. So democracies don't work. They don't protect the minority, and they don't operate with the consent of the governed.
Well, of course, but they basically, once you accept we are a democracy, which we're not, but once you accept this democracy, then majority rule. That's why our founding fathers did not establish a democracy. They established a republic. Isn't it a shame we don't teach that in our schools? Isn't it a shame we don't teach that in our churches? Isn't it a shame that all of our leaders keep telling us we're a democracy, and it's always a lie? Well, Ralph, go right ahead.
I'm trying to make the point, Dr. Stan, that democracies are not just at all. What right does the government have to take from those who do not give their consent? That's been the definition of tyranny. Notice, go back to Robin Hood. King John was taxing those people without their consent. That's what the Sheriff of Nottingham and all of his minions were doing. They were going door to door taxing the people when they didn't give their consent. That's called tyranny.
Well, of course, what Plato had said was democracy always leads to despotism.
Yes.
Democracy always leads to despotism. It was true 2,350 years ago when Plato said it. It's true today. Go ahead.
I'm trying to make the point, Dr. Stan, there's something wrong in America. And the reason it's wrong is because we are developing and have developed into a democracy where there are no minority rights. I'll give you an example. I live in Tucson, which is part of Pima County, the southern part of Arizona, right by the border. Now, Tucson is in the eastern part of the county, and the western part's all desert, abandoned. There's nothing out there. Now, let's just say there's a famine in some country, and the people are starving. They're basically tribal, and they're not they're not very well established, and they don't have dams and rivers and everything else. They start starving, and the America says, oh, "Boy, we feel sorry for those people. Let's pick them up and bring them to Arizona, which is very much like the area, and we'll give them water and the rain and take care of it. They'll feed themselves with and we'll provide for them." So they brings over 500,000 people and deposits them in the western part of Pima County. So after 5 years, those people become naturalized citizens. That's okay. That's by law. That's fine. You wait 5 years and you become a citizen. And then let's just say they are the majority of Pima County. And they decide, since they're cannibals, to legalize cannibalism. Can they do it in a democracy if they're the majority? Yes. Isn't that true? Majority rules. What would prevent them from doing that? Nothing. Because there's no law against cannibalism, and they're going to make the law in Pima County. They will write a piece of legislation. All of us are going to vote yes, and the people in Tucson are going to vote no, because we're going to be the next meal. What would prevent that from happening in a democracy? Absolutely nothing. And it would be the law. That's the problem with a democracy. The minority is not protected. Let me ask another question. Why do we permit people who don't own property to
hold that thought? Hold that thought, Ralph, and we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Ralph Epperson. Ralph, this time I'd like you to get out how people can get in touch with your ministry, your website, your telephone number, so people can contact you if they'd like to get more information.
Well, you're terribly kind, Dr. Stan. Thank you very much. You can get in touch with me through my website, because all my phone numbers, my email address is listed there, and I answer the phone here in Tucson, Arizona, so you can call me anytime. Let's talk. It's www, of course, like all websites, www.Ralph, R-A-L-P-H, dash, Epperson, E-P-P-E-R-S-O-N. You go there, and you down the bottom, you'll say, my name is Ralph Epperson. That's been my name since I was born. I have no alias. I have no non-diplome. I have guest authors. Okay, you can find my phone number's there, my email address, my street address, and you can come to Tucson and we'll talk. Okay, now, let me finish my thought. Why do we in America allow people who don't own property to vote a tax on people who do? It's called school tax bonds. We do it in Pima County. Everybody can vote whether you own property or not, but it's only going to be paid for by the people who own property. Now, let's just say the majority in Pima County, or in Tucson, they have a school district, the majority of the people don't own property. So they've got children in school. They can vote a tax on those of us who own property and maybe even don't have children. What's wrong with that? Isn't that called stealing? Is that called justice? Is it called fair? Is it called equity? No, it's not. We do it. It's done. We just voted on that in Tucson the other day, a school tax bond issue to raise more money for our schools, and we, fortunately, the majority voted no. But if they hadn't, and the minority owned the property and said, no, you're not going to tax me, I can't afford it anymore, but if it passed, I have to pay the tax. If I don't, I go to jail. Is that just? And I'm saying no. The people who don't have a stake in the game are voting yes. Those that do are voting no. Something's wrong.
Well, initially, of course, as you well know, when this country was founded, you had to own property. This very state could have stipulations on who could vote and who couldn't. And it was ordinarily, if you own property or were paying taxes, then you could vote. But the people who were not paying taxes were not allowed to vote because, of course, they would always want to tax people, somebody else. It's all about taking from Peter to pay Paul. But even come up with a better system now by borrowing money from future generations. They give money to everybody. They give money in the form of Social Security benefits to everybody. They give money in the form of Medicare benefits to everybody. And all these people say, well, we want to get back to the Constitution. but they certainly don't want to give up their Social Security payments. They don't want to give their Medicare payments up. And yet, of course, you cannot be free when you have a government that's providing for you. And, of course, these were not things that necessarily the people voted for. They were simply imposed by above, by those who wanted to control us. But go right ahead, Ralph.
Dr. Stan, I'm trying to point out that there's something wrong in America, and it's the fact that we allow stealing when government does it, but not when this Russian does it, or you and I do it, nor the man who takes my lawnmower. Something's wrong. That's not justice. When you see justice, it's a woman seated in, I presume, in a chair or a bench or something, and she's got a blindfold over her eyes to imply that everyone's equal before the law, and then she's got a scale of the right and the left, and obviously you're supposed to weigh the evidence on one side against the guilt or the innocence and decide accordingly. But this is not just. Something's wrong. It's been wrong for 200 years. It's called democracy. Democracy does not protect the rights of minorities. That's my point. Why do we tolerate that? People vote taxes on me when I vote no. I can't afford it. Oh, yes, you can. We've decided by majority vote you can afford it. People are losing their houses today because taxes are getting exorbitant. Why? Because people without property are voting taxes on them. Every time we vote on a tax increase, we had a sales tax increase. Of course, that's everyone pays that. Some people pay more because they buy more, which is somewhat reasonable. At least it's more like a use tax rather than. And if you want to avoid the tax, you don't have to buy things. I just bought two pairs of boots in Texas a couple of weeks ago, and I paid no sales tax. Our sales tax now is up to 9.1%. And they just tried to get another half cent. We voted it down yesterday.
Well, I think, Ralph, there's no question that what you're saying is correct. But what can be done about it? We are not a democracy, but they're treating us like a democracy. We are a republic, but they don't teach that in schools. And certainly not one person in 100 understands the difference between democracy and republic. However, at the local level, why, of course, we've always had this democratic concept that the majority would rule. It's only on a national level that we're a republic. At a local level, we're a democracy, and this is a vehicle by which you take money from one group and give it to another through the vote. And whether it's right or not, it's the way the system works, and how do we change it?
The answer is very simple. We need a republic. But by the way, Dr. Stan, I don't know if you've ever read the Federalist Papers, but if not, you need to. Because Madison, who wrote the Constitution, Madison defines republic a little differently than what you and I define, how we define it. Are you aware of that?
In the 10th of the Federalist Papers, James Madison said, democracies are air spectacles of turbulence and contention, yes, or air incompatible with the rights of private property and personal liberty, and are usually as short in their life as they are violent in their deaths. And James Madison, in the 10th of the Federalist Papers, I think said it as clearly as possible, what's wrong with a democracy? They're air spectacles of turbulence and contention. And as you look around, why we see increasing turbulence and contention, and that's what always happens with democracies, according to James Madison, writing in the Federalist Papers back in, of course, 85 and 86. Go right ahead.
But let's finish, Dr. Stan. He said more. He said, since America's too big to have a true democracy where the people all get together and vote what they want from the majority of everybody, so he said, we need a republic. And he defined a republic as a representative democracy. What did he mean by that? What's a representative democracy? Oh, we elect congressmen and senators to vote for us. And the majority of what they say, what the majority of those people decide what all of us are going to do. That's not what you and I define as a republic, is it?
And, of course, initially we did not elect our senators. That's 17th
true.
Amendment was certainly one of the worst things that ever happened to our country because it was a stepping stone from a republic to a democracy. Basically, our founding fathers did not want direct election of senators because they knew then they would be bought or sold. The senators were to represent the rights of the states. They were to be elected by the state governments. And since they were answerable to the state governments, they would certainly be very loath to vote also sorts of increased federal expenditures because they'd be paid for by the states, and the states would be mad, and they'd lose their position as senators. So basically the 17th Amendment was one of the nails in the coffin of our republic. But go right ahead.
I understand that, Dr. Stan, but understand what I'm trying to say. When we read the amendment or this declaration that America is guaranteed, the states are guaranteed a republic form of government, it doesn't mean what you and I believe it means. It means what James Madison defined it as. A republic is defined as a representative democracy. If you want the specifics, I don't have them right away. I could go to them in the other room. I'll read it to you. You need to read that particular part of the Federalist Papers where he defines a democracy as being unreachable because we can't get everybody all together. What we need is a representative democracy called a republic. And he's the man that wrote that in the Constitution. That's what they mean by this, a representative democracy, which also furthers the same definition and the problems with democracy. The majority of the House and the Senate, now you're right, the Senate used to be selected by the various states. That was amended by the 17th. You're right. But now those people, they decide what all of us are going to do, the majority of them.
No, but you see, basically, Ralph, when they started out, why the restrictions on what Congress could do, and basically those restrictions were placed by the Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, and they were not allowed to do very much. Basically, there were only 18 things they could do, and they're not doing many of them today. Basically, it was the expansion of that, and of course, the 10th Amendment specifically restricted what Congress could do, saying, you know, any power is not specifically granted by the United States to the Congress, you know, are to be reserved to the, or restricted by it, talking about the Constitution, anything not granted to the Congress by the Constitution or reserved, restricted to it by the states, is to be reserved to the states and to the people. It was the whole idea of restricting what Congress could do to those 18 points. If they would stick to that, we wouldn't be in problems today, but they are not restricting it to it because there are people who want a dictatorship, and until people understand that, until people understand this is a subversive movement, nothing's going to change.
John McCain is the senator from my state, of course, Arizona, and he was just reelected for his, like, sixth term or something like that. That's why I did not vote for him, and I'll tell you why. When John McCain was a congressman in 1984, we formed a thing in Tucson called the Saturday Morning Breakfast Club, and I was one of the charter members. And so I went to one of our first meetings, and John McCain was our speaker. Now, in those days, you had to write the question, so that we later changed that, but the first president decided that's the way we're going to do it, just to make it a little easier for him, that he can sort out the questions and throw away all the bad ones. And so I asked John McCain the following question, and this is a true story, happened to Ralph Epperson, and I've got witnesses, about 40 of them. I said, in my question, the moderator read the question, and John McCain answered. I asked John, what role does the Constitution play in your determination on how you vote? Thinking he'd say, well, I get Article 1, Section 8 out, and I read it, and if it doesn't match up with one of those requirements, I have to vote no, because I took an oath to support, protect, and defend the Constitution, and therefore I'm limited by Article 1, Section 8, clauses 1 through 18, meaning I've got specific powers, and that's all. If it doesn't match up with that, that's not what he said. John McCain laughed. He laughed and said, I'm going to do the best I can. I can't imitate him. He laughed and said, if we voted the Constitution, government would be a lot smaller, wouldn't it? And he walked away. This is the man that ran for the presidency, John McCain. That happened to me in 1984.
Well, let me tell you an even better John McCain story. Basically, we have an article that I've forgotten what magazine, but somebody once asked John McCain, why he was running for Senate, you know? Was he a Manchurian candidate? Because you remember, of course, he'd been captured by the communists and been under the control for a long time. And his reply was, why am I running? Why, because Angela Lansbury turned over the Queen of Diamonds. And I read that, and I said, my God, he's saying, I'm a Manchurian candidate.
I wasn't playing with that. But understand this, Dr. Stan. We don't have a republic. We weren't, as we define it, as a government of limited power, restricted by those powers specifically granted to it by the Constitution. We have never had that. We weren't supposed to have that, according to the man who wrote it, James Madison. And Dr. Stan, if you want the documentation for that, please, I'll call you, or you call me tomorrow or even later tonight. I'll give it to you. Read it yourself. and start telling your people. We don't have a republic. The section that guarantees the republican form of government of the states does not mean what you and I think it means. That's the point. We've never had a republic, as we define it, a constitutional republic where government is limited to the powers defined by Article 1, Section 8.
Why did Benjamin Franklin talk about a republic? Why did everybody, one of our founders, say we were a republic? Is it only Ralph Everson who knows that we were not a republic and nobody else knew that?
No,
I mean, I've studied these documents. I've read the Federalist Papers, Ralph, and I think that what you're doing is really undermining the fabric and the belief in this country. You seem to have an intense hatred of America and everything it stands for.
Dr. Stan, I'm telling you to read it yourself.
Ralph, what is your point? Your point is we're not a republic, you know, and certainly we're a democracy. America's terrible, and there's nothing to go back to. That's basically your message, isn't it? Ralph, that is what you're saying, what you've been saying this whole evening. We have a terrible form of government, and there's no way to recapture it.
That's not what you
did. What are you saying, then?
I'm saying we got to get back to a republic as you and I define it.
Well, that's right, and that's what we had was a republic. And certainly when Benjamin Franklin came down the steps of the convention hall, and Mrs. Powell came up to him and said, Mr. Franklin, what have you given us? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it. And basically all of our founding fathers knew this was a republic. And, of course, you can find something here, there, or elsewhere to undermine that concept. But that was what our founding fathers wanted, was a republic. And there were a lot of people who voted to create a republic. And I don't care what James Madison wrote. I've read what he said about democracy, and I've quoted it to you exactly from the Tenth Amendment. Well, pardon me, from the Tenth of Federalist Papers. Why don't you use that part?
I have, Dr. Stan.
You didn't bring it up. I did. What he said was democracies are spectacles of turbulence and contention,
yes,
are incompatible with private property or personal liberty, and are usually as short in their lives as they are violent in their deaths. And you try to say, oh, well, he was really advocating a democracy.
Dr. Stan, please let me explain. I'm asking you to read other parts of the Federalist Papers.
I've read the Federalist Papers, too.
Dr. Stan, if you had, then you would agree. Dr. Stan, if you'll give me a minute, I'll run to the other room and we'll read it together.
All right, fine, but what is your point, Ralph? What is your point?
My point is that we've never had a republic.
We never had a republic, then how could we possibly get back to one?
Because we understand what we need as defined by the Declaration. Please understand, Dr. Stan, I've been teaching the Declaration of Independence as the greatest writings about government ever devised by man.
Right.
It's very clear. Governments are only created by those who want to secure their rights. That's all the power they've got.
But where do the rights come from, Ralph?
They come from God.
That's right. They come from God. But we were established as a republic. And you may not believe that. Of course, so you believe, that, of course, that Ralph,
who wrote the Constitution? Was it not Madison?
No, it was a large number of people who wrote the Constitution. He recorded it, but he didn't write the Constitution. It was written by a large numbers of people. Don't you recall? There were other people there besides James Madison. He may have had his views, but he was not the sole author. Are you suggesting that he was?
What are the Federalist Papers, Dr. Stan?
They were written by Madison, Jay, and Hamilton.
Okay.
And I don't believe everything that Hamilton wrote. Do you believe everything that Hamilton wrote?
I'm only trying to get back to the definition defined by James Madison himself with his own words. If you'll give me a minute, I'll go to the other room, get it.
Ralph, we're just about out of time. Why don't you make your point? Basically, you say that America was never a republic. It was never really aimed at really doing what the founding fathers wanted it to. Because one phrase you can find in there, what do you advocate? You advocate getting back to a republic. How can we get back to a republic when we never had one?
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that amongst these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
Absolutely,
that's what I believe in.
All right, fine, but you don't believe in the Constitution, then?
Okay, Dr. Stan, I'm sorry. I tried to get the Federalist Papers read by you. I'll tell you what I'll do, Dr. Stan. I'll call you tomorrow, and we'll read it. You get your copy out, and we'll show you where you can read it with your own.
All right, fine, but basically, you feel that America was never a republic, and we can't go back to something we never had. Well, Ralph, you and I, we've disagreed on this before. I wanted to talk about the New World Order this evening. I asked you to talk about it.
Okay.
I asked you to, specifically asked you to talk about it. Thanks so much.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ralph Epperson. I probably will not have him on again. I've lied for that through the years.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
And to talk about the one world government, and he wanted to come on and simply destroy anybody's belief in America. And I think it's touted counterproductive. America was founded predominantly by Christians, but there were occultists here. The occultists did not want to have a republic. They wanted an authoritarian society with the idea that one day America would be used to bring the whole world into a one-world government. Now, basically, the Constitution was signed in 1787 and the following year. Why, of course, was when George Washington was elected. But the Christians were predominant. The occultists had to actually hide their emblem. The pyramid, capped by the all-seeing eye, was put on the back of the Great Seal of the United States because they didn't want people to understand the Masonic and occult influence that was here at that time. Well, of course, the occult influence has progressively come forward to the point where it's the dominant force in America. And this, of course, is why we're in the mess we are today. The occultists are in total control. The Council on Foreign Relations is formed as a front for a secret society that was founded by people who were involved in the occult. The secret society was founded in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes, who is a Mason, by Lord Milner, who is a Mason. Both of them had sworn their secret oaths, and by a man named William Stead, who was into theosophy and into spiritualism, and Lord Escher, I don't know what he was, but three of the four people were strongly involved in the occult, and their goal was world government. Then, of course, they begin to recruit people into an organization known as the Association of Helpers. All of this is in Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, and in his book, The Anglo-American Establishment. And literally all of the people that would join this secret movement came out of the occult, people like Balfour, Arthur Balfour, but they all came out of an organization known as the Society for Psychical Research. And, of course, then a generation later, they formed the Council on Foreign Relations, which is founded in the occult with the specific stated objective of bringing this world government. They, of course, acted behind the scenes. You would never see them mentioned in the controlled media. And then, of course, in 1972, Gary Allen wrote a book called None Dare Call It Conspiracy, which outed the Council on Foreign Relations. He put out 10 million copies of that book. Well, my goodness, now they had to do something. Well, the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations at that time was a man named David Rockefeller. It was that year then, or the following year, when David Rockefeller organized the Trilateral Commission. That was to be the organization that controlled things, and then they could let the people know about the Council on Foreign Relations. Oh, it's just a group of people to get together to talk and study. No, it was a group of people who were dedicated to world government, but now they had a new front organization. And as the secret society formed the Round Table, and the Round Table formed the Council on Foreign Relations, now the Council on Foreign Relations formed a new front. It was called the Trilateral Commission. If you want to know what it's about, you need to get Barry Goldwater's book, With No Apologies. Now, he didn't understand the spiritual aspect of this. He didn't understand the conspiratorial aspect of it, but he certainly knew what these people were up to. And his book, With No Apologies, must reading. It's available from Radio Liberty. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. William Steele's book, The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies. If you want to get into the conspiratorial aspect, we do have Manly P. Hall's book, The Secret Destiny of America. It's on our special list. It's not for general consumption, but of course we have it there. And we also have a new book called Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary People by William Peterson. And he tells about when he was going to college one day and a man called him over and said, "Say, would you like to join the Peace Corps? And my name is David Rockefeller." And David Rockefeller recruited a man who was deeply involved into the cult, into this whole world occult movement. Extraordinary times, extraordinary people, fascinating information. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to the Power Hour, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for caring outside your world, and thank you for not believing stupid news or beyond stupid news. We need a new song. We need the stupid news music, and we need the beyond stupid news music, because it is getting that way. I want to go back to the story about Oscar the cat, who is at this nursing home in Rhode Island. It's interesting because the cat is somewhat unsociable. It was adopted as a kitten there, and they've kept it to be friendly to all of the people that have dementia. Well, the cat, a tortoiseshell and white cat, spends its days pacing from room to room, rarely spending any time with patients except those with just hours to live. If he is kept outside the room of a dying patient, he will scratch the door trying to get in. When nurses once placed the cat on the bed of a patient they thought was close to death, Oscar charged out and went to sit beside someone else in another room. The cat's judgment was better than that of the nurses. The second patient died that evening, while the first lived for two more days. Dr. Dosa and other staff are so confident in Oscar's accuracy that they will alert family members when the cat jumps on a bed and stretches out beside its occupant.
That's feline Grim Reaper there. Yeah, that's crazy.
I know, but it's supposed to be a really neat story, Josh.
It is really neat.
It is supposed to be a very sensitive, caring story. Feline Grim Reaper. It's not like he dawdles. He'll slip out for 2 minutes, grab some kibble, and then he's back at the patient's side. It's like he's literally on a vigil. He doesn't want them to die alone.
He's escorting them.
Yeah, well, I guess so. Dr. Dosa noted that the nursing home keeps five other cats, but none of the others have ever displayed a similar ability. In his book, Making Rounds with Oscar, The Extraordinary Gift of an Ordinary Cat, wouldn't that be a neat book to read for children? Dr. Dosa offers no solid scientific explanation for Oscar's behavior. He suggests Oscar is able, like dogs, which can reportedly smell cancer, to detect ketones, the distinctly odored biochemicals given off by dying cells. That's what they think he does. He smells ketones. Far from recoiling from Oscar's presence, now they know its significance. Relatives and friends of patients have been comforted and sometimes praised the cat in newspaper death notices and eulogies. People were actually taking great comfort in this idea that this animal was there and might be there when their loved one eventually passes. He was there when they couldn't be.
Oh.
That is a neat story.
It is.
Yeah, I love that story. Heinz Foods, they've recalled baby food over major fears over choking. Yeah, unfortunately, plastic pieces were found in the containers. Heinz is recalling thousands of cans of baby food that contain small pieces of plastic. A batch of its fruity custard fruit medley baby food has been identified as a choking hazard to babies. Can you believe this? Hey, let's have some more cheap Chinese food for our babies, don't you think? No, get a blender, make your own.